On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Home. What a random goal to be added to our.
Yeah, well,
I just felt it. It was a great Chris Cuthbert call.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that one not so much, but lots of emotion. Hey, did you hear? I should have done some more research before bringing this up, but we're into it now. In the running for the 2020 Grey Cup, Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Hamilton Tiger Cats.
What? What are you talking about? Those two
in
cities?
In running for hosting the 2020 Grey Cup.
And when you gave me two teams, I'm like,
those would be the ones in the running for it. Any idea who's hosting 2019? Because I actually have no fucking clue. I
know Edmonton Eskimos.
That's this year, 2018.
Oh.
Oh, yep. Okay. So,
nope.
No.
I got no idea. Maybe, I'm out.
Maybe it's BC, because I think Winnipeg was half talking about 2020 as well.
You're bringing it. You're bringing it.
I'm all over this shit, man. You know what? We are on the home stretch. Everyone's starting their Friday before the Thanksgiving long weekend. Not bad.
It's true, man.
I'm ready for some fucking bird. Some bird fucking. Some fucking bird.
Yeah, well, that hole is way too big for you anyways.
I'll never get that fucking, get up there, get the giblets.
Yeah, forget it. Look at the neck with envy.
You've ruined the family bird again. Sorry.
Oh, come on, man. Hey, if it gets up to 180 degrees in the dark meat, you're good.
It's true. Hey, I wanted to test your trivia abilities here on something. And we're going to bounce around here a little bit. We're going to talk a little baseball. We're going to talk a little hockey. We're going to talk a little NHL goonery here coming up. But last night on the broadcast, twice, I don't know if you watched any of the Leafs game.
A bit.
Yeah. They mentioned that the Leafs were one of three teams with two 50-point defensemen. Can you name the other two?
The other two teams?
Yep. With two 50-point defensemen. I think one's a slam dunk. One's a little tougher.
Nashville?
Nashville is one. Can you name the two defensemen?
Subban and Josi.
That's correct.
The other team with two 50-point defensemen.
Yep.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep. We covered that.
Okay.
Nashville Predators.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
No. Your Minnesota Wild.
Oh, really?
Ryan Suter and Matt Dumba.
I didn't think Suter played enough games last year.
Man. I was a little blown away, and also made me think that I had slept on Suter a little bit in the pool we did, or in the draft we did the other night.
Not Suter McGavin.
Not Suter McGavin, that's right. So, just thought noteworthy just because Minnesota's noteworthy for nothing.
And Minnesota would have been way down my list.
Exactly, yeah. No, me too. I mean, you're thinking about Brent Burns, and did, you know, did somebody in San Jose jump up and do something? Did McAvoy and Krug do something, right? Like, there was a lot of teams I'd have come to before fucking Minnesota. So where do you want to start, man? We got a lot to cover here.
Let's touch briefly on wild card games in baseball.
And the preamble, too? Because there was some funky stuff happening in the NL.
Why do you do a play-in game? Why?
Keeps it exciting, man. Keeps more fan bases engaged.
Yeah, but the play-in game doesn't. Those same two fan bases are engaged right up to game 162 because they're tied. The potential is to be tied.
Are you referring to the two tiebreakers or the wild card game in general?
Yes. I am talking to the tiebreaker games.
Okay.
So, I did say play-in, sorry.
Right.
Which is the wild cards. But to me, the idea of a tiebreaker, you do it like every other sport in the world has ever done it, and you have tie-breaking mechanisms
right.
that would prevent Colorado from playing at home, having to fly to...
Chicago.
No, first they went to Los Angeles.
Yes.
And then
to settle the West.
And then lose that, and then get on a bird and fly all the way back to Chicago, and then hopefully win and move on somewhere else. Like,
so for those who missed it, there was a tie at the top of the NL West. And a tie, was it the NL Central?
Yes.
So each of those ties needed to be resolved. So you needed winners there who would then win the NL West and the NL Central. The two losers.
Oh, loser.
Then become eligible for the wild card. They become, those two teams are now tied. Or no, just needing to
yeah,
play
those,
the wild
those,
card.
Yeah, those
game.
Are the no longer division winners.
Right,
you are now.
So they fly to Chicago and play that game. I didn't have a ton of time to watch the two tie breaks. I watched the NL wildcard game, and it was – we're only 2 years removed from the Jays being involved in some of these big-time – well, they had an AL wildcard game. They
yep.
A couple of straight ALCS appearances. If you don't really have a horse in the race, fuck, there's some annoying shit, man. Like, just –
I
was just tweeting out with a couple of our listeners, like, enough. You're finishing the game with the pitchers you have in the game now, right? Because then they take a commercial break and you come back for...
Yeah.
And the NL, all the substitutions and you're out of guys on the bench and then the catcher...
Bud Black is the king of the double switch and he's down to his third string catcher.
Holy shit. It was wild, but... There's just something about playoff baseball, man. There's nothing quite like it. I do find myself, I'm sitting there, like I said, talking to some of our listeners on Twitter at, 12:30 in the morning, realizing I would have never stayed up for the Jays to do this. But here we are, two teams I don't give a shit about going into the 12th inning. Just go to bed, man. Like, just let it go.
And I did.
Yeah, okay.
But if the Jays were playing, I would have stayed up. I would have stayed involved in that.
Sure, yes.
But
on a Tuesday night in August, if it's the Jays or whatever, but for some reason playoff baseball makes me...
Yeah, and I get what you're saying with the wild card games, right? That's extra slots where a team can play into and that fan base instead of them being...
Yeah, Boston had won the AL East in July. We need something to keep everyone else engaged, right?
Right. Like, well, and it's funny, the Yankees win 100 games.
Yeah.
And yet they're a wild card team.
Yeah.
I get how that keeps them in, but to me, the tie games, man, flip a coin and that's it.
There's something pure, don't you think, though, about, okay, we're tied, let's play for it.
No. There's something pure about having two divisions in each league and only two teams make the playoffs. And you give her shit.
Well, that's long in the fucking past.
Yeah, but you play...
We're never going back to that.
You play... I know. I understand that. But you play 162 games, those motherfuckers should mean something.
Yeah, but don't you think that's the point here? Played 162 games, and we're still fucking tied. Only one way to resolve that now.
I know. And that's what I'm saying is, we don't need 80 teams to make the playoffs.
What did you think of the AL wildcard game? Yankees and Oakland, obviously, like most people who don't live in New York, I was rooting for Oakland. First time we've ever seen a bullpen game, right? In terms of Oakland, they had tinkered a bit with the opener like Tampa had, but then most teams will follow that up in the second or third with a traditional starter who's going to give you six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
They just ran it out there, right? Guy after guy after guy, and they got knocked around. And in September, you could almost...
Yeah, but they made it into the sixth.
Yeah, but you could almost see that coming. In September, they were 4-5 using the opener, if you want to call it that, and the bullpen type game, and 12-7 or 11-7 when a starter went.
I think the Brewers are saying that they're opening their division series like that.
Okay, well, maybe some of these. Like, if Chicago had been able to get by Colorado, they had already used their NL starter and Game 2 starter in the bowl. Like, they were blowing through guys. And I get that, right? You're just trying to stay alive.
You got
to
get there.
Yep. So they're blowing through their bullpen, and they may have been using or they're blowing through their rotation just to stay alive, and they would have been using some kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's obviously the Tampa Bay method, which I'm sure other teams were
catching on,
were employing it throughout the season at various points. But to me, that is, they were the kingpins of it.
I don't think you can go into a one game. Like, don't you got to put the ball in someone's hands and say, you know, you're the guy?
Well, and we've all seen, anybody who's watched enough baseball, you see games where, for whatever reason, the starter is injured or hurts himself in the second inning.
Yeah.
And the bullpen comes in, and you see three or four guys pitch an outstanding effort.
Yeah. Right? Remember, in 2016, the Jays in Cleveland, Trevor Bauer, he's got the bloody finger on the drone. Remember, he cut himself up.
He's, and now he's faking it.
He's bleeding in the it might have been the second inning.
Yeah, it was. Like, right away almost. It was open and gushing.
And so Gibbons is out and go, hey, get him out of here, right? You can't be bleeding all over the fucking ball. And they went to their bullpen, and Jays fans are, fuck yeah, let's – oh, no, they're killing us.
Let's get up in that bullpen.
That used to be the model, yeah. Right? But now everybody's got these fucking killer bullpens that just mow you down.
And this is what I'm saying, though, is for every one of those, the bullpen came in and played stellar and preserved that game. We've seen, especially teams with average bullpens, man, we've seen it come in the bullpen just give it up. Give it up. And so it's a crapshoot. Absolutely.
So we've got our matchups. You got a rooting interest in this at all? In the? I think I might be on board with the Brew Crew.
I was just going to say, I think they are sort of, in terms of, they got a couple of guys from that Kansas City team.
Right.
And they bring that sort of scrappy, good fundamentals.
Yes.
They bring that same sort of feeling to them. I like that, especially over the Rockies.
Yeah.
To me, the Rockies are like the Vancouver Grizzlies or something. You know what I mean? They're just like, what? Who are you? You're not really a pro team, are you?
Right.
Now, that being said, Milwaukee is the Ottawa Senators of the MLB, right? They're like, man, aren't you a minor league team?
I think that's part of this for me, is looking around and seeing your Bostons, your New Yorks, your LAs, and going, and look at those little fuckers, right? Those pesky little bastards are... And there's a bit of that with Colorado, too, for me. If I had to throw my support behind...
But you see, they're going. They have the Blue Jays slot on the schedule.
Yes, for sure.
4:30 start.
For sure.
And you're like, nobody cares.
Right. That I am looking for... I don't think I really have a rooting interest, but I will watch a lot of the New York-Boston. I think there's marquee value there. MLB's
believe this will be only the fourth time those two franchises have played in the playoffs?
Kind of wild about that, eh?
That they've both been around for over 100
that rivalry.
100 years, and it's only the fourth time. And the first time since 2004, so that means they played whatever it was, two or three times between 98 and 2004.
Yeah. Well, that 2004 series, right? The 3-0 down, the we'll see you later tonight kind of thing. Yeah, it's to me, that's obviously the marquee. And then obviously the Braves getting back in with that young team. That'll be interesting to watch.
And I bring it up every time, but especially that makes me think of Esther Rolle from Good Times. The big round-faced mother from the television show Good Times, 1970s reference here. Yeah. And so the Yankees were selling T-shirts with Esther Rolle's face on it. She's got a big fat face, woman, obviously.
Yeah.
But underneath it, there it said Big Poppy. Which, like, that's a very fitting. You know,
okay. Sure.
Look at it. They could be separated at birth. Esther right. Rowland, Big Poppy. But yeah, it's wild to think that four times and
well, as you've alluded to, used to be East West, right? Only yep. one of them could get in.
Yeah, one ticket. Yep. Only one ticket.
Right.
So. And now everybody gets in.
Well, I still think it's far better than, well, basically all the rest of North American sport. It's more exclusive to get into the baseball
playoffs. For sure it is. But I loved it back in the day.
Right.
Right. And now, granted, through the 80s and early 90s, as a Jays fan, we're always in it.
Right.
Right. Close.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I was weaned on. So now it would have been some lean years if we...
Damn straight here in 15. Well, 15 we'd have got in. 16 we wouldn't have got in.
Right.
So.
And so that's where you look at it and go, look at you guys. Because you went to the three divisions and they added one wild card.
Right.
Right. And you're like, okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Right? All right. I get it. You want to even it out.
Yep.
Next best team gets in. But, I think due to being an AL East fan, both the Houston – Cleveland and the New York Boston series, both those hold more interest to me in terms of a casual view.
Right. The names and the marquee is definitely in the AL right now.
Right. And I think Atlanta, Los Angeles, I think Atlanta's at least a year ahead of schedule.
They are, for sure.
Right. They're these young upstarts and they got buzzed for the most part by the NL West,
yep.
right? Including 2-5 against the Dodgers. So,
they're starting. And, you know, with all this talk of this young core, games 1 and 2 will be started by veterans that they didn't have a year ago at this time. But, you know, so you still, when you get to the playoffs, you lean on that veteran experience.
For sure. But I think this young, scrappy Braves team, upstarts, I think they're happy with their NL East win. And I think they'll
– Yeah.
Look, I think they'll be made short work of. Get out.
On Wednesday night, the NHL season kicked off with 4 games, all of them with interesting storylines. The Cup champs raised the banner, the Leafs with the big free agent signing.
The champ is here.
The new look Sharks with Erik Karlsson and then whatever in the Canadian West game, I guess.
Vancouver Calgary.
Pettersson, yeah.
Elias.
I don't know what we're supposed to – apparently it's Elias, not Elias.
Elias.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Pettersson.
Which of them stood out to you? Obviously, the big spank came down on Boston.
Yeah, well, that was sort of out there in terms of it was the least...
competitive?
Well, of interest as well, right? I was clearly the Habs and Leafs in prime time. Interested to see how that went down. You had the Canucks and Flames on the late game. And
yeah.
If you were fortunate enough, yeah, you had that Anaheim. Yeah, Boston, Washington was.
Not without merit, though, or not without
interest.
Incident. Yeah, as Brad Marchand didn't wait long to try and one-up.
Jack Edwards tweeted out today that it's Marchand.
Whatever.
I know. Like, honestly,
I'm really looking to
what a bunch of
Jack
douches.
Edwards to tell me about French Canadian pronunciation. I know he's not technically.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a Nova Scotia guy. I think right.
Yeah,
and so
I'll call him what I want to call.
Yeah, Marchand.
Douchebag.
Marchand. Yeah, and you know, okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because
for those who missed it, we should tee it up. The Bruins are getting run the fuck out by the champs. And Lars Eller scores, I believe it's the 7-0 goal.
It is the 7-0 goal.
And he's pretty excited about it. He did have a bit of a celebration. Marchand.
Okay, which included, though, it's one thing to celebrate. It's not like he did a celly. Yeah, he skated by the Bruins
yep.
bench and was making little hand signals
yep.
and gestures.
It's true.
So I think that's a dick move.
Sure. Brad Marchand with a long list of his own dick moves. But he decides to jump in and he's going to send a message to me. I get your point, and I think I don't really understand why Lars Eller felt the need. Like, there's no huge Washington Boston rivalry.
There is now.
Yes. Lars Eller is not one of those guys, right? When you think about, so it, the whole thing was strange, but I guess I get what, do you think there's going to be any?
There has to be. There has to be some discipline.
He jumped in and.
It gave him two good shots right to the face before Eller even had his gloves off.
Yeah.
If you're going to give Domi a suspension.
Okay. They didn't, but.
Okay. All right.
What?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, no, that's, it's garbage.
Cost him $0.
And nobody likes preseason. Yeah, all right, I'm not getting hurt.
I'll see you when the paychecks start rolling in.
I know. That's not how the NHL sees it, though.
No, it's not.
And so, to me, yeah, you can't. I think that the Eller thing was a dick move.
Yep.
Right? You don't when you're pounding someone down, right? Especially a team I think that is going to be as good as the Bruins are.
Right.
Yeah, 7-0, you put that seventh goal in, you skate to the bench, and you're like, pad the stats, right? That's it. You don't need to go by their bench. Now,
we can go back to TCS 271, our Atlantic Division preview, when I suggested that Halak may play 32 games. Night one is a 7 spot on Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, 5. 5 on him.
Sure, yes, you're right. And I'm not expecting, obviously, that to be how the season goes.
Interesting stat, though, I heard. That in their last 13 trips to Washington, the Bruins are 0-10-3.
That is fucking provocative. Because the Leafs, I think, had a 13 or 14 game losing streak against Montreal, who hasn't been any kind of...
Screaming hell.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for a long time, I looked at the Leaf teams and went, yeah, okay, I get it. We don't beat a lot of people. But that's not a great Montreal team, right? And so that streak just ended last year. It is funny how you, we've talked before about the East versus West ones, right? Where they talk, you haven't won here since 03. And you're like, it's 4 games or whatever.
Yeah.
But to have someone in the East, you know, maybe there is a little something Boston sick of losing in Washington.
Yeah. Well, not yet. Not enough because they lay down and spread their cheeks yesterday. Man.
Carlson, I only saw a bit of the first of that game. I did see the highlights later. He didn't look great on the first goal against.
-2 on the night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
1 shot on net.
So you raised the question on one of these previous shows whether or not it was a mistake to only have him play 1 preseason game in San Jose. I think part of that was timing.
Yep.
But he didn't look settled, right? I think we all expect him to be fine.
For sure. Played almost 27 minutes.
Whew. Really?
Yeah. So, and you know the whole he sat down with Christine Simpson,
yep.
And you're like, all right, enough. Like, who gives a shit now? Like, really, I don't need to hear from him.
You knew on the opening of the season they were gonna,
yeah,
have some kind of feature.
To me, it's like you've broken up with the girl, and now you know maybe it was you know amicable, and we both decided to go our own ways, whatever the deal is. And now you got to see all her things on Facebook about how how happy she is and how things are. You're like,
yeah,
you know what? Be gone already. Enough of your nonsense.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't watch a lick of that. Only box scores.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, now, granted, I think the score in that game was the flip of the Toronto-Montreal game.
Right.
San Jose, if you look at shots, hits, puck possession, all that sort of stuff, dominated the game.
Right.
Just Anaheim got a couple well-timed goals.
Well, and that's a good transition here. We can move over to Toronto-Montreal. As you said, Montreal, for long stretches in that game, was the better team. Certainly for the first probably 12 minutes, almost all of the third period. In between, the Leafs got it going a little bit, but they did not deserve to win that game. Freddie Anderson was good. The difference in that game was Toronto's got elite finishers that don't need many chances, and right now Montreal just doesn't. Right?
Like, yeah. You can see, and I think we're going to see not a lot of this because Toronto will be better. But
fucking hope so.
Well, there's going to be nights when Toronto brings its C game, but it has some A-plus finishers.
Yep.
And that's what happened last night.
Just need that one chance and someone will find it.
But Montreal, outshot, outhit. And just to me, I think there was, as you said, large sections where they were taking the game. Now, they looked for quicker, sure. Right?
They did. They were aggressive.
You see no fast. Weber in the lineup due to injury,
yeah.
Right? Alzner, I think, was a healthy scratch.
Yes, he was.
Right, which is so interesting that 1 year removed from being your big free agent signing.
I said when that happened, this wasn't going to go well. And
yeah, well.
I didn't think it would be this soon, but here we are. Max Domi was probably the best player on the ice for either team throughout the entire game. Like he was just flying, right? And making plays. He was in the corners. He was doing, like, when you think of Max Domi, you don't think corners quite like you did with his father, right? But he was in there and he, alarmingly for Leaf fans, Ron Hainsey looked like March Ron Hainsey and not October Ron Hainsey, right? At 37 years old. If that's what he's going to give you, that's going to be a real problem. And coming off a couple of power plays, they moved Dermott up onto the right side with Riley. Coming off a couple penalty kills where Ron Hainsey plays. I won't be surprised if we don't get to American Thanksgiving and that's the pair, right? If this is – it's one game, and this is what you do is you overreact, right? But
yeah, not really. I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? But you are an injury to Frederik Andersen away from this being
– Well, they had third and fourth string goalies
gone.
Plucked off.
Thank you very much.
I sort of expected one would go. I didn't –
Yeah.
Holy shit. I think both would.
Yeah, I think that's got to be just about unheard of, too, right? To lose two. And no.
Both to injuries, so both may end up back on waivers and in a month, and the Leafs may grab one of them back, right? But yeah, that wasn't in the plans.
Right. But if you look at it, and again, what good team isn't a starting goalie away from being in trouble? But to me, I think with Toronto's looser back end.
It's a Sunday morning back end.
It's a 12 Guinness.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a bit of talk about that, right? And I don't think we touched on it much in the divisional previews. My thing was, I always thought they should keep Sparks. Now, part of that was I didn't think McElhinney would get claimed by anybody. He was good last year in a backup role, and I assume he would be fine in that role again playing 12 games or whatever this season. I had no confidence that if Andersen got hurt, he could play 10 or 12 straight for us. That's sort of where I thought Sparks maybe, you know.
Well, much younger too, right?
Right, and is used to being a starter, AHL goalie of the year, whatever any of that is worth.
Nothing.
I was willing to gamble that he could string together a decent 10 or 12 game stretch more than McElhinney could. In terms of the role that you want being played, maybe McElhinney was better, but...
Chris Weidman, 3 years ago, AHL Defenseman of the Year. Robin Lehner, you know.
I was looking at the stats.
Calder Cup winning, you know, goalie of the year in the AHL. Man.
AHL goalie of the year tends to pan out about 50% of the time. So it's a coin flip.
Okay.
So we'll see what Sparks is going to be. The preseason would indicate we're on the bad side of that, but we'll go from there. Just an interesting thing. I was reading a great piece by Justin Bourne in The Athletic. We talk about... It's early, don't overreact to whatever. He said, it's almost the opposite. And
it's early, overreact.
A little bit. And he talks about Elliot Friedman, how he tracks. We used to talk about American Thanksgiving being kind of the sign of if you're not in, you probably aren't getting in. He said, Elliot Friedman tracks it at November 1st, less than a month into the season. 54 times since 2005, a team has been more than 4 points out of the playoffs, only 7 have they then gone on to make it. 7 out of 54 times. If you're only 2 wins out of a playoff spot on November 1st, you're not getting in.
Wow.
It's unwritten. Now, Minnesota broke that last year. So, I mean, it's doable,
well,
but it's rare.
And like, Ottawa,
you better stay
Ottawa
in
went
it.
The opposite direction. 8-3-5, middle of November last year.
And fell out.
Yeah. Far.
Right.
Far out.
Anything else from night one?
Yeah. Well, and not really from night one. I'm interested in Tom Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Am I?
No. Well, that's where we were going next.
Okay. Were you shocked at all by that?
Yep. Only in the sense that I didn't think they had the cojones to.
Cojones. Huevos.
So Tom Wilson, suspended 20 games for a hit to the head in the preseason, last game of the preseason of Oscar Sundquist. It's Sundquist.
Sundquist, yeah. Yep. Third year in a row that he's totally dummy to St. Louis Blue.
Okay, I was going to say, Sundquist just had said caved in yeah. the preseason.
No, by Tom Wilson.
Yeah, keep your head up.
It's the third year in yes. a row that Tom Wilson has demolished a St. Louis Blue
yeah.
in the preseason.
Well, it's only been 13 games since his last suspension, since he was suspended in the playoffs last year. Was also suspended earlier in the season.
And got a warning in the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Like, so Tom Wilson has 35 career goals and has served or will now be up to 29 games of suspension.
Well,
you don't want those to run neck and neck.
Okay, and how about, okay, 35 career goals and just signed, what, a five-year, yep. $25 million contract?
Yep.
Excessive.
Which was panned heavily here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, you and I have different feelings on him.
Yeah.
To me, I don't think he's a – I think he is a impact player.
Well, Sundquist would tell you he is. He just impacted my cranium in a big way.
Yeah, and I if you watch the did you see the description
the NHL video? I didn't.
Okay, to me they used interesting language. They didn't let Sundquist off the hook, right? They still acknowledged that he's put himself in a position to be hit.
Yes.
And so they're not saying, yeah, that's gone. You know, you can't hit that guy.
Right.
They are saying, however, you know, there's still a little, hey, buddy, you got to protect yourself.
Yep.
And if you're going to go into that no-fly zone, there's a good chance you're going to get smashed. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go with squashed or smashed sure. yeah. and ended up being
squamashed. Squamished.
Yeah, but... Yeah, the idea that Wilson, again, as a big man, clips him, main area of contact is the head.
Yeah, shoulder to head.
And he's pushing up and through always.
And that's the thing, right? Like, I'm tired of Jeff O'Neill and people like that talking about, he's just a big guy, he can't hit anybody then. I guess we're just not allowed to.
Is it just me or does Jeff O'Neill have bad takes?
He really does. And it's getting scary because it looks like the last couple of World Juniors, like all these, we're seeing a lot of, like they're trying to groom him to replace Bob McKenzie when he retires in 2 years. And that's going to be awful.
Yeah, well, because Bob McKenzie has reasoned level takes.
He has good takes, yes.
Jeff O'Neill seems to always be coming down on that side
yeah.
of it.
So in that regard, like, there are bigger guys in the league than Tom Wilson. Like Zdeno Chara, who I complain about all the time. I complain about him interfering. He's not constantly putting people's heads through the glass, right? Like if it's about size, then shouldn't that guy be suspended all the time? Well, he's not because he knows how to hit people. It's what you're talking about. It's the up and through, right? It's constantly trying to blow people up with these terrible hits. And at some point, it's you, man. And it's reputation. That's a huge part of why he's been suspended. He's been suspended 20
games.
That's huge.
That's $1.25 million in salary
yeah.
forfeited.
Which is what he should be making.
Well, this is it, right? You get that. Good thing I got that huge contract.
Right. Because if I'm going to miss 20
games a year. How else am I
going to
pay all? Exactly. Someone's got to feed my kids.
Yeah, no, it's true that, you know, he's missing a quarter of the season. So he's taken a huge financial hit. I'm impressed with the NHL here just because there are times where if almost anyone else makes that hit, you go, maybe two games.
Yep.
Like, you can't make that hit, but we're not going to smash you. But this is you again. It's always you, and we're tired of it.
Do you think he has the ability to learn from this? Which is clearly what this is saying, hey, you're not paying attention.
Well, Rafi Torres didn't.
Yep.
Matt Cook didn't.
And Rafi Torres is the best example.
Well, he got 40 games.
Was that off the Hossa hit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
40 games they gave that guy. Again, just because you keep showing up here. It's always you.
And did Rafi ever play again?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I. And it doesn't really matter, but
Probably like, on our Olympic team last year.
To me, that to me,
you're sending Max Talbot and yeah. all these other.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other guy whose name's
Max Lapierre.
Yeah, exactly, that's exactly yeah. right.
Max Lapierre, not Max Talbot. Well, I don't want to slander the good name of Max Talbot.
Well, either Talbot was there.
Maybe, but I think he was there.
And if he
of.
Wasn't, he got cut. But yeah, Lapierre okay. was the guy.
That's right.
Yeah, I think for all intents and purposes, that was the end of Rafi Torres.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, Wilson's much younger and has more track out in front of him and $23.75 million yep. still to earn.
Yep.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay. And that's what I'm saying is I don't believe that he can learn. And I've said it to you before, he's an impact player.
Yeah.
But he's insane.
Yes.
Like and part of what makes him such an impact player is you don't know.
Right.
And he's a big man, he can handle himself, right? If it comes to dropping the gloves, he doesn't mind punching you right in the head and he can take a punch.
No, he's not in that regard, he's not Rafi Torres, he's not Max Lapierre. He will stand there and fight you. Like
and probably beat you up yeah, in this.
He's not a bitch, but he's reckless as hell.
Yeah, and scary.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is to me he's one of those guys where you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so is the next time he does it, is it 50 games?
Well, that would seem to be the escalation, right?
Can you imagine? Man, oh man, I just and you wonder then, if he does learn, is he nearly as effective?
Right. Does he have to play on that edge?
Yeah, I think he does.
Right.
I think he does. And you know, he was playing with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
Clearly not for the skill level.
Right. He's making some room for them.
Making room, right? Old school. He can skate and he can hit and he can do all those things. I wonder how effective he is when he comes back in sort of December, whenever right. that is.
Yeah.
I'll be really interested to see how he plays.
Last thing I think we wanted to touch on here is I'm quite amused with, first of all, the policy that the Vancouver Canucks, now it seems like it's come from the players, not the organization, have put in place. We're not going to play any video games on the road, seems to be the policy. We're going to have team dinners. We're going to do more team bonding things. And I suppose I'm fine with that. I don't really care, but I don't also believe that video games are tearing apart. This seems to be very common that modern athletes take their PlayStation on the road. Or they're playing games on their phones, but by all accounts, they're mainly playing with each other. And so, what does that mean in terms of, you know, team bonding and what you're supposed to be doing and this and that? But the Canucks have decided, I guess, that it got to a point and they wanted this to not be a thing on the road. When you go out on the road, you're just with the guys. I don't know how it's enforced. You can come in and see that there's no PlayStation here, but you can still be playing Fortnite on your phone at 2 in the morning.
And really, they're at a point now, A, they're a very young team.
Yes.
Which makes it doubly sort of bizarre.
Right.
And now you're in a day and age where if you make 400 games in the NHL, you got your own room.
Yeah.
Harder to enforce than ever.
True. Like, Bo Horvat's probably pushing that now.
Yeah. Right?
Like, when you think of him as a young player, he's probably got 300 games.
Yep.
So... anyway, that becomes the story for Vancouver. It's been a thing that has been talked about for a while, whether these video games are distracting players and whatever else. So someone asks the Winnipeg Jets, are you going to institute such a policy? What do you think of it? And Patrick Laine says...
notorious gamer as well.
Yeah, he is. He's well known for this stuff. Says, essentially... we don't think that's necessary, but if we start to play like that, referring to Vancouver, then yeah, maybe we'll probably stop taking. And to me, I love that. Like you think about, man, what a sniper, right? Like,
yeah,
he doesn't miss on the ice. He doesn't miss when he's apparently playing Fortnite, and he doesn't miss when he's taking out the Canucks.
If you're going to lay me up one of those big fat BP fastballs, I'm going to crush that. If we end up with 31 wins, I think we'd have to implement something like that as well.
Yeah. And so the Canucks, of course, then a couple of them get their backs. Well, it's none of his business, and we don't care what he – and that's all fine. But obviously you do care, or you wouldn't be addressing it.
Or commenting on it.
But the whole thing is weird because – it's sort of become fairly well known, even in the NFL, as much as in the NHL, that a lot of these young guys, now they don't go out at all. There'll be four or six of them in a room playing some video game, And if you are an NHL GM, would you not rather know that your nerdy loser players are sitting in the hotel room playing video games rather than being like, do you really want this going back to the 80s when everyone was coked out and drunk? And
70s, just drinking beers.
Snort night.
You're showing up and drinking as many beers as you can in the afternoon?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. To me, this was almost a...
Well, I think it goes full on the other way. And I don't know who the prospect was. And he was either Finnish or Swedish.
Who was accused last year of having his career ruined by video games?
Yeah.
The speculation was Olli Juhlevi.
Okay.
Jeff Merrick was the one who brought it up on the 31 Thoughts podcast. Just said there's a player who's had his career impacted by being addicted to these games. Never named names. And then, of course, once it was out there, everyone started. And it just kind of became, well, Olli Juhlevi didn't develop as fast as everyone expected. It's probably him. And, like, interesting that he's a Canuck. And now it's the Canucks that put this policy in place. But that was never proven.
And the thing is, I know David Price spent a little time on the disabled list this year with
gaming thumb.
Yeah, Fortnite injury.
Yeah.
Right? Honestly, dude's making a boatload of cash.
Yeah. See, to me, I get that. If you're getting injured playing your game.
Well, this is it, right?
You used to have to, like, was it not Paul Quantrill who had his contract voided because he was hurt in a snowmobile accident in the winter? And they're like, it specifically says in the standards player.
And Malikov, I think, for New Jersey, who was in a skiing injury or whatever it was.
You're like, okay, you're doing stupid shit that could impact your career. You're playing video games. Oh, my thumb's all fucked up and I got a pitch tonight.
Well, you know what? Prior to Beijing, I was playing a pile of Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Of course you were.
And honestly, I thought I was getting a little...
Yeah, it does happen, man.
Carpal tunnel. I'm like, oh, Christ, this is no good.
There was a player, it might be... Remember Matt Bonner of the Raptors?
Yep. Big Red?
I think he had moved on to somewhere in Texas. Maybe it was Dallas or San Antonio or whatever.
San Antonio, I believe.
He was saying that he got the first ever, or one of the first big iPhones, right? The iPhone 6 came out with the larger size, the 6 Plus. And it was fucking with his wrist. It was so much heavier than the rest of his phones. Now, I kind of think it might have been whatever he was watching on that screen that was fucking with his wrist.
Yeah.
But you're holding it, and it's top heavy. And there was a lot of people complaining that their wrists were getting sore holding these phones.
Are you suggesting that Matt Bonner was watching too much porn on his phone?
Could be.
Okay.
The Red Rocket, just getting her done.
The Red Rocket. All right. Well.
So the problems of the modern athlete, man, it's video games, it's big phones, this is what we're reduced to talking about. Farhan Lalji standing there talking about Fortnite on SportsCenter. Here we are, man.
Okay.
So I guess before we get out of here, the last thing to touch on is Brendan Shanahan on the day of the Leafs opener, he was sort of taking some veiled, very, very thinly veiled shots at William Nylander and essentially saying, when I get together with my Red Wing buddies, we like to talk about our wins and our championships and our big things. And when I think back, you know, we all took a little less to make it all work. Right. Yeah. We all did what we had to do to fit so we could keep those teams together. And he never came right out and said, hey, Willie, just fucking take it. But that's essentially what he was saying. I don't think it went well. Like, I don't think that was well received. I think this was much, much better off when no one was saying anything. That is one nice thing that's been left over from the Lou era. But it's a little disingenuous, don't you think?
Well, there was no salary cap back in those days.
That was a pretty big part of it. He also, though, signed an RFA sheet with St. Louis to spurn the Devils.
Yeah.
He got traded to Hartford and then asked for a trade because he wasn't happy there.
Well,
like, you're not exactly the model citizen who did everything team first.
And you were playing in Detroit in those days. And again, in St. Louis, he was making huge cash.
Yep.
And if you remember, they were saying it was Hull and Shanahan and Oates, and they were supposed to be doing so well. But they're like, oh, these guys are skating around looking for the ATM because they're just so – their bank accounts are so fat and that's all they
like
care 95, about.
95, right? Something like
and,
that.
And then in Detroit, as you say, Detroit was at that time with the Rangers, with the Leafs.
And the Avalanche.
Bam, right at the top.
Yep.
Right?
Spending
like drunken sailors. So
– well, I think if I went and looked at it, I think – the contract that he was on, his highest paid years in Detroit were 6.85. Fedorov was at like 10. Yzerman was close to that, again, before the cap came in, right? All that stuff. So he was getting less, whether or not that was because he chose to take less, or you're not fucking Yzerman or Fedorov. Yeah. You're getting less. That's the difference. He was not the model citizen he's painting himself to be. As you've said, it was a non-cap world. I think it was a misplay in terms of trying to win the PR battle. There's no bad guy here. Nylander is doing what any one of us would do in terms of trying to get every penny he can. And the Leafs are trying to hold this shit together, knowing what's coming next in terms of Marner and Matthews.
And if this
is how it's supposed to go. You want him here by now, but no one's the bad guy.
And Nylander's saying, why do I got to be the guy who takes less so you can give Marner and Matthews more?
Well, yeah, I think he's frustrated that he's the first, right?
Like, no, for sure it is.
Yeah, I don't get to see what's about to happen here. There's some crazy, again, Jeff O'Neill talking about Mitch Marner at $10 million. Shut up. Like,
well, we'll see at the end of this year,
he's
man.
He's not going to get $10 million.
Hey, if he puts up 85 points this year, what do you got to pay that guy?
Less than Kucherov.
Okay, what's Kuch getting? Nine?
Nine.
Okay.
He's not Kuch yet.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
It won't shock me if he's in around eight something.
I know it's certainly you're hoping that's the case.
Well, I just, there's only one guy who's ever come off his entry level with a 95 point season and gotten close to 10 million. It was Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And he's not Ovechkin either.
Okay. Like, and what do you think about guys saying, well, you know what? Look, Tavares could have got more money. He took less money to go. And you're like, shut the hell up. He's the second highest paid player in the NHL.
Is he?
Yeah. And he's not the second best player.
No.
Hey, and by next year, by July 1st next year, he'll have made $41 million or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's all in bonuses.
Yeah, I know. But Tavares did not
take. But he did take less. He did take less. Both the Islanders and the Sharks were offering more.
Okay. But what I'm saying is he's still...
He's being handsomely compensated.
Handsomely compensated.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, don't buy into that. Don't give me that shit.
Well, I think that's the culture they're trying to sell. Whether it works or not, we'll see.
Do you recall Michael Nylander using the Edmonton Oilers to leverage a fatter deal with Washington?
Yep. And there's no doubt he's – if I was in Williams' situation, I'd be asking my dad, what do you think? And his agent is apparently just notoriously – like, hard to fucking move at all. But this was better. Like, you're seeing Sportsnet and Chris Johnston, who I really like. See, he thinks Nylander's around 7, a little higher than the Pasternak thing because of the cap inflation, saying I should be around here and the Leafs at around 6. I have no trouble believing that. Darren Dreger today is still out there going, I don't think he's moved off his 8.5 ask. Well, we have no idea that there was an 8.5 ask, and we have no way of knowing if... Like, I think this was much better when no one was talking, right? Like, we don't know.
It always is.
And, you know, to just think that Pete Chiarelli may have fucked us by giving Draisaitl 8.5 is really, seeing that the Oilers may be the ones that fucked our cap is a tough pill to swallow, man.
Okay, well, and really inflated everybody's by giving all kinds of guys $6 million
plus. Stupid shit.
Yeah, and you're like,
maybe would have had to give Roman Polak Chris Russell money or some crazy shit. We should probably wrap this one up, man. Friday of a long weekend. I know you're anxious to, you're doing the cooking.
I'm doing the cooking.
You got the big bird?
No, you know what I'm doing?
No.
I'm going with... two
gazpacho
turkey breasts.
Okay.
So only white meat.
Yep.
Right? So each breast weighs about 6.5 pounds.
Nice.
It's a big breast.
It's always good.
It's a lot of white meat right there. So yeah, two of them, you brine them, right? Awesome. Brine them for about 24 hours.
Cook 'em. You pull that white meat out at about 165. Goddamn juicy, tender, tasty.
You got a crowd?
No. There'll be about 10 or 12.
Okay.
Not a crowd.
I think we'll be pushing up close to 20 some odd. We got a big family blowout coming.
Well, and each one of those is... Okay, forget about it. You know, I have no idea who's listening.
Just leave it alone. So the several beers and lots of... The night of our turkey dinner is always an early night. The tryptophan and the alcohol and the whatever.
Afternoon drinking always leads to early bedtime.
That's how it goes, man. We will wrap this one up. We'll be back with you on, it's holiday Monday, so we'll hold the show till Monday night for your Tuesday commute, and we'll see you then.
See ya.
You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.